It's interesting what Ed was sharing today, in part out of the Torah portion, because that's he kind of set the stage for what I'm going to be talking about today as well, which is called passing the baton, passing the baton. So turn with me in the scriptures to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and beginning in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I can't wait for my Bible to return from Israel, which I left there. So I have to use these small print, crummy Bibles. But at least they say the same thing. So praise God. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in the Messiah Yeshua. In the things you have heard me say, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of the Messiah Yeshua. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules." Now, last week, for those of you that made it here, you were faced with the marathon right outside, right? And really, the marathon is the mother of all races, and because it requires incredible endurance to run that race. And I've known some people that run the marathon, and in fact, one of the Messianic leader in Northern Virginia just ran the Washington Marathon and completed it. But the winner of this particular race, who as usual was a Kenyan, unbelievable these guys, was able to do it in 2 hours and 15 minutes, which 26 plus miles, which means that his average mile was about 5 minutes, 5 minute mile, which I can't even come close to on 1 mile, much less running 26 plus miles. It's an amazing, unbelievable ability to endure. And you know, when it comes to running races, there are a number of different kinds of races, as most of us are familiar with. There are the sprints, short races. There's the mid-level races. There are mid-distance. There's long-distance races, of course, which has culminated in the marathon and so on. And each particular kind of race has a certain strategy that accompanies it to enable the person to try to win this race as best as he possibly can. But the race that's most like life is the relay race, which is what I'm going to be talking about today, the relay race. And why is that the case? Because a relay requires a team effort, unlike an individual race in itself. Few, if any of us, live completely unto ourselves, you know, except people who go off and live in the wilderness in some cabin and so on, which is a very tiny minority of people. Everyone else lives with others. And it's certainly true in the kingdom of God that our lives are dependent upon one another. Our success or failure depends upon one another. And it's true in our families, it's true in business, it's true in congregational life, it's true in social life, is that our lives are in large part dependent upon other people, just like in a relay race. Now, the typical relay that's run at a competitive level is the 800 meters or 1500 meters. Those are the most common relays. And of course, each of the relays are always split into four parts. So you've got four runners who are running in each of these relays. Now, what's interesting about these relay races is that the speed of the four together, is potentially greater than one who could run the entire distance, right? Because they have much greater spurts and so forth. And the result of the race is not just dependent upon the speed of the individual racing, but it's also based on what? It's on the ability to pass the baton. That is a key to the result of a race. In fact, if you take four of the fastest runners in the world and you match them up with people that have less ability, less speed, but these four fast runners don't know how to pass the baton well, they will lose to the group that has a lesser speed, because the group at the lesser speed has the ability to know how to pass the baton in a better way. Let's consider the options in a relay race about how people can pass a baton. There's a few different options about how to do it. Let's take an 800-meter race. That means that the four individuals are running 200 meters, and let's say in this particular race that the first guy who he runs the first leg, he does the 200 meters in 20 seconds, which would be close to our world record. Now, in this particular race, the second guy is watching the first guy run this lap, run this 200 meters, and he's just standing there, and he's watching him. He just watches him, doesn't move, and then when the first guy finally reaches him, the first guy slows down and to make sure that the second guy gets the baton. The second guy says, oh, you know, he kind of grabs the baton, and then everything, and then he suddenly starts running as quickly as he can. Now, you know, if you, anybody you've seen or can imagine relay races, that team is not going to win. Okay? And there's a lot of reasons why. First of all, the first guy had to slow down to be able to pass the baton, and the second guy wasn't even moving when he received the baton in the first place. Okay? But of course, the ideal situation is that the second guy is watching the first guy, and then at a certain point, before the first guy gets to him, the second guy takes off, starts running fast, okay? And the second guy, without breaking stride, is able to reach his hand into to the second one, whose hand is protruded back like this, grabs the baton without looking, and then sprints as fast as he can the remaining 200 meters to be able to pass it on to the third person, and so on. And this happens two more times until the completion of the race. The winner of the race is not the person who ran the fastest one quarter of the race, right? It's the team that runs the fastest is the winner. And the team, it's based upon teamwork, speed of the individuals, and the ability to pass the baton as truly as one can. What's interesting about it, though, is that despite the winner, the team that wins, each individual of the team gets the medal, but the victory is dependent upon the whole. It's dependent upon each one of them as they learn how to work together. Now, we read 2 Timothy at the beginning of my message here. And in 2 Timothy, there are the four relay racers, the four participants in the relay in that one verse that I read. One or two verses that I read. And this is the way it goes. Paul is running the first leg of the race. The second leg of the race that he passes the baton off to is Timothy. And let's take a look at it. 2 Timothy, again, chapter 2. And look at verse 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. This is Paul speaking, and he says, "And the things you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." There's four groups of people in that one verse. There's Paul, who's speaking to Timothy, and he's passing the baton to Timothy. Timothy is instructed by Paul to entrust the message that Paul has given to Timothy to others, that's the third one, so that they can teach others, the fourth one. You see? There's four people in this relay race in this one verse right here. And it's the key to the ability to move on into the kingdom. Paul passed the baton to Timothy, who must find others to pass the baton to, who must then teach others to be able to pass on the baton to the fourth group. That's the key. Now, why am I talking about all this today? Why am I talking about these relay races and so on? Because this is what the Torah portion is actually about today. It's about passing the baton. The Torah portion begins in Genesis 23:1 and ends in 25:18, like Ed already said. And here's the irony about it. The title of the Torah portion is known as Chaye Sarah, which means Sarah lived, and yet immediately upon the statement in Genesis 23:1 saying Sarah lived, that says, and she died. So in other words, it's really not about her life, it's about her death. And in fact, the whole portion is about death. It begins with Sarah's death, and it ends with Abraham's death. The whole portion is about these notable people who have died. And yet, really, the portion is not about death, but it's about passing the baton to the next person to run the race. That's in a sense what it is. Turn with me to Genesis 24, verse 1. 24:1, and let's see what it says here about Abraham. Genesis 24:1 says this. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Man, what a great testimony to have at the end of your life. Wouldn't that be lovely to be able to say that the Lord has blessed me in every way? That's amazing. And yet, Abraham was not yet satisfied with the remainder of his, with the conclusion of his life. Because what did he want to do? He wanted to ensure that the baton that God had given to him was going to be passed on to his son Isaac without slowing down. That's the key in passing the baton, is that you can pass it on in stride without slowing down. You see, Abraham and Isaac had an interesting life together, a short life, relatively short life together, but an interesting and very challenging. They'd been through a lot together, so to speak. If you remember, Abraham almost gave up hope on even having Isaac at birth, if you remember. And so he compromises with his wife Sarah and results in the birth of Ishmael through the maidservant Hagar and so on. Then there's the miracle announcement by the angels that there's actually going to be a birth through Sarah. And then there's the miracle birth. And then there's the sending away of Ishmael. Now Isaac is seeing all this happen. And then there's the sacrifice of the remaining son. We often talk about how Abraham was able to yield his son, but Isaac, you know, he ranged based on various traditions somewhere between 13 and 30, based upon which tradition you want to believe in. The fact of the matter is that he was very aware that he was being placed on an altar and getting ready to be killed. He saw that with his own eyes. He experienced it. And yet, what did he realize when he came out of it? First of all, he realized that to serve the Lord, you've got to be willing to give up your whole life. And secondly, what he realizes is that God saves his people and saved Isaac. See, Abraham yielded his son, but Isaac, it was Isaac's life that was on the line. And he saw the hand of God intervening in his midst and saving his life. This is the kinds of things that Isaac knew as he got older and he was experiencing. And now he realizes that he is the one who is going to carry the promise of God into the future, and it is a tremendous responsibility upon his shoulders. Abraham knew that he needed to pass the baton. And part of that was finding the right wife for Isaac. Now it was interesting that Abraham decides that he does not want the wife to come from the Canaanites, from the land in which they're living. And why is that the case? This is the case because these are the people that are ultimately to be replaced by Abraham's descendants. And so Abraham doesn't want the people who are going to be replaced to be in the lineage. He wants people from his own lineage. And it's not just anyone from Abraham's own lineage, but it's going to be God's choice. I want to underline that. It's God's choice. No matter what we do in life, whatever it is, we need to learn to wait, to find, and to follow God's choices, not our own. When there are crises in our lives, there's the temptation to jump out at the first opportunity that will diminish the level of the crisis. But often that's not the Lord's choice. The Lord always has his choice. And our goal should be to wait and to find and to follow God's choices in our lives. When we do, we're going to be like Abraham in that we were blessed in every way. When we don't, our life is going to be laden with difficulties and regrets. And what a terrible life to be able to live and to be able to look back and to say, I regretted these major decisions in my life. It's a tragedy. Abraham's responsibility was to pass the baton well. He let Isaac continue running. He let Isaac have a running start to his own life. And he found the right wife because it was God's choice. And Isaac was able to advance beyond his father because Abraham was able to pass the baton. Now the Haftorah portion is very similar, just like Ed said. It's a very similar situation. It's 1 Kings chapter 1. This is the end of David's life, unlike Abraham's life. David was Israel's greatest king, and the scriptures said that the Messiah who was to come, of course, who came in Yeshua, was to replicate in many respects like David. But David also had some major shortcomings, and you know what David's biggest shortcomings were in his life? His family life. David's family life stunk. You know, he really did not fulfill the goal of a father in any sense of the imagination. However, at the end of his life, he was able to pass the baton, and that's what 1 Kings chapter 1 is about. What happens in 1 Kings 1 is that one of his sons, Adonijah, decides that he's going to claim the throne of Israel. And so he proclaims this and so on. David is completely unaware of what's going on because this is typical of David. He doesn't know what's happening in his family's life most of the time until he's told by others, by his assistants and his friends, that there's a crisis in his kingdom that Adonijah is claiming the throne. The thing about David was, even though he wasn't a good father, he had good friends and he had good assistants. The scripture says that with a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And it's really helpful to have those around about us who can help direct our path so we don't get off track, because none of us are completely like Yeshua in that we don't make any mistakes. Now, the key friend here was Nathan the prophet. Nathan the prophet is the one, interestingly, this is so interesting about this, because he's the individual who went to David during the whole Bathsheba crisis and exposes David and says, you're the one that took Bathsheba and then you plotted to kill her husband. And as a result of this, the son that Bathsheba is now carrying of yours is going to perish as a judgment from the Lord. It's the same Nathan that rescues David's legacy at the end of his life. Isn't that an interesting twist? And what does he do? He goes to David and he says that Adonijah has been proclaimed king, but you have promised Bathsheba that her son, Solomon, would be king after you. Interesting twist. Same parties, but now the twist is around. Why is that the case? Because Solomon was God's choice. Adonijah was not God's choice. David, at the end of 1 Kings 1, anoints Solomon as the new king. He passes the baton on to Solomon, and Solomon continues David's legacy, builds Israel into a regional power, and becomes an example in the scriptures of the coming messianic kingdom. That's what Solomon was able to do. Many of us here have or will have children and grandchildren. Many of us here have roles in the congregation of influence and example. In a relay race, it's our responsibility to run as fast as we can, but also to learn how to pass the baton well. That's part of the race. Life is not a sprint, nor is it a marathon. It's not just your life, and it's not just your life and God, but it's your life and God and other people. And the key is learning how to pass the baton well. I want to tell you a story in conclusion. And this is a story about my life. This is when I was a teen. And I had a recurring dream before I became a believer. And this recurring dream was this, that, you know, those of you know, of course, my family was involved in politics and everything. And that was my goal and future, is to go into politics. And I had this dream that that I would become someone real significant in the government and politics. My ultimate goal was to run for the U.S. Senate, and I could see that possibly happening. And then I thought, you know, I would be involved and do significant things, and somewhere along the way I'd get married, and then somewhere along the way my children would have children, have grandchildren, and then I'd retire from the Senate, you know, and maybe some of the things I would have done would have been notable, and then I would retire, and then I would die. And then 10 or 15 years later, everybody would have forgotten me, and basically I would have lived what I would consider to have been an important life as a human, but ultimately it has no purpose and no end result in all of this. And this thing scared me. It scared me because I thought, is that all there is to life? There's got to be something more to this than just living, even knowing, doing something significant, but then just ending it all. And when I accepted Yeshua as the Messiah, shortly thereafter I had the dream again. But now the veil was lifted, and I suddenly saw an eternal life that I had, and that what I did matter forever, and that the key to my life was passing the baton on to the net, to different individuals, investing my life in other people that carry it on. And you know what? It doesn't end at my life, because what I did carries on for eternity as it goes from one generation to the next, and then into heaven itself. That was the value of life, and that's what it means to pass the baton forward. Paul passed the baton to Timothy. Timothy was told to find others to entrust that baton to, who were then to entrust those to others. There's the baton, and that's the relay. Here's my closing questions to you. Are you passing the baton adequately to those that you're connected to? Do you know who they even are? And our lives are not our own, but they belong to the Lord and they belong to others. We need to recognize that all those around about us, of course, those in our own families, most importantly, but even beyond that, in the congregation, the people we work with, we are investing in people's lives. Now, you can invest life or you can invest death. You're going to invest something. And the question is, what kind of a baton are you going to hand each and every person to? Recognize your life is not your own. It belongs to the Lord and it belongs to other people. We need to learn how to pass the baton well. Close in prayer. Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for Abraham. We thank you for David. We thank you for Paul. And of course, most of all, we thank you for Yeshua, Lord, who he himself, in his own life, by his life, death, and then resurrection, really passed the baton of life to us, that we can do something with it. Lord, I pray for each of us here, Lord God, Father, that we would recognize that we are involved in something that's way beyond ourselves, Lord, that is beyond our own lifetime, Lord God, and that everything that we do has potential value, Lord. Father, help us to run this race with endurance and to learn how to pass the baton at the appropriate time, Lord, and find those people that we are to pass this baton to, Lord God. Father, we honor your holy name today, Lord, and we give ourselves to you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to close with the Aaronic benediction. If you need prayer following the service, please feel free to come forward for prayer. We'll have Oneg downstairs. The bookstore will be open. And then at 1 o'clock, I will continue and conclude with the briefing on Israel and the Palestinian situation from 1 to 1:30. And that'll be at that time. Let me close with the Aaronic benediction. Yare Adonai Panav Elecha V'chunecha Yisar Adonai Panav Elecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Let's have a good week in God.